listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I ain't studying these niggas. I ain't studying these bitches. Two cigarillas look like extensions. Yeah, I'm from the south side. Her mouth wide, my pack loud, my gat loud. I back out and click clack. Pow pow. Court dates, skip trial. My rep is a reptile. Hour later, alligators stepped in, worked like a stepchild. Pimps up. Hoes down, make your girl put her clothes down. Her hair down, I'm down. Her phone also, don't dial. This right here is no style. I don't know how I do the shit. I'm true to this. True religion, they talk swag with no permission. All year, it's Gucci season. G's on my belt buckle. Cocaine on my left knuckle. Kill you and bury you, what's left of you. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and...
Karen.
Can't believe I made it through that whole verse.
That's a lot.
That is a man, 2 Chainz, the greatest philosopher of our time. Mm-hmm. of course, you can find this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Blackout Tips. We'll come up. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, and we promise we'll read them on the show as long as we like them.
Mm-hmm.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball. Extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by a couple people. First of all, Shadow Dog Productions. That's right, guys. They have an audio play album that has us on it. It's called Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. You can find it on iTunes and Amazon. And just, you know, you can either search my name, Rod Morrow, or you can search Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. It'll come up. Like, download it, buy it, leave us 5-star reviews on it. Let them know that you listen to it. Let us know what you think about it. We just get to be silly and play these roles that are written for us, and do a bunch of stuff. Like Karen gets to cuss me out, and I get to do a surfer voice, and I did a freestyle. It was a bunch of things going on there.
It was fun.
It was very fun. And then the other thing we have today, Loot Crate. This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate, which is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter code TBGWT, and you get $3 off of any new subscription. That's right. Loot Crate wants to give you 6 to 8 items for less than $20. That include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items and more. We'll be opening up some stuff today on the show and showing you guys later on what kind of cool stuff you can look forward to. Just make sure you sign up by the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time, because that is the deadline for each month's theme, and this month's theme is magical. All right, you just got out of Doctor Strange, now you want some magical shit in your life. I understand, so we trying to help you out. All right, guys. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see what we can talk about in Donald Trump's America today. You know, it's like life didn't stop, guys.
It didn't. Sometimes you wish it would have, but it keeps moving.
Well, I do not wish life would stop, you know. I guess the biggest thing for me was Dave Chappelle performed on Saturday Night Live last night.
I heard.
And Karen didn't watch it.
Mm-mm, took my ass to bed. I was sleeping.
Yeah, it was good, man.
That's what everybody's saying.
Yeah, I think the only thing I didn't like is in his opening monologue, which was fucking hilarious, he ended it with like a serious thought. Like, he was basically like, hey, you know, essentially we're gonna give Donald Trump a chance because, you know, as black people and marginalized people, we want a chance too. And so, which is fine. That's his thoughts. I'm not blaming any black person for however they feel and this shit. I feel like I don't see why he would be any different as president than he was as a campaign when it comes to racism. I think, you know, I'll get to it in a second, but more importantly, I think the coverage of it is what bothered me, because there's a lot of people spreading this around, like Dave Chappelle with an emotional, you know, plea to America, or Dave Chappelle gets serious for a second in a powerful thing. And it's like, nah, man, don't try to spread it around like it was some, like, you know, what, like, oh yeah, this is what it feels. Okay, I put it this way. It feels like people that write these articles are saying, this is how we would like everyone to act.
Right.
Because, you know, it feels like white liberal people and most white moderate people have already moved into the maybe President Trump will be good type phase. Mm-hmm. because they don't have to worry about, you know, anybody yanking their hijab off or beating you up because you're black or you know, you don't have to worry about those things. So to them it's just kind of like, oh yeah, yeah, we, yeah, Dave Chappelle did, see, and that feels kind of, I don't know, icky to me or whatever. But I mean, the monologue was off the hook. It was extremely funny. He's extremely funny.
But do you have a clip or no?
I can play it, but it's like 11 minutes. Oh, it's, like, it's not a short.
Oh, okay. I thought it was shorter.
Yeah, it's a long ass thing. So I don't want to play it. I mean,
no problem.
We have Hulu and stuff if you want to watch it. The skits were funny.
Okay.
They had one.
Hulu too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Saturday Night Live is on Hulu and they break it down per skit.
Oh, okay. 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 I'm with you now.
Okay, so they had a skit with him and Chris Rock where they watch white people realize that America is racist via the election results, which was really fun. That, you know, that people, someone hit me on Twitter was like, see, that Dave Chappelle in this skit is like Rod, like me, and I'm like the white people. I was like America's still racist. Welp. Back to the default.
It is. Right.
But you know, I didn't troll anybody about it. But yeah, I couldn't really be but so surprised at the you know, at the idea that, oh, America's still fucked up. Yeah, and then they had another skit where they had a couple like running skits they put them into. Like there was one called Last Call where Kate McKinnon like basically is a fucked up like person at the bar, and she is just like a horrible, hideous person, and it's the people she hooks up with, and Dave Chappelle was one of the people she hooked up with. They had something about Leslie Jones apparently always flirts with the same dude on the show, but then they had this whole skit about how she was secretly in a romantic relationship with a different, nerdier looking dude. And I think that was one where I needed to be watching the show, you know, before to kind of get the whole joke.
Right.
So there were a couple like that, but then there were other ones like, they did a Walking Dead, one where Dave Chappelle was Negan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so good, man. It was, actually I might see if I can find that, but
I was gonna say, that one might be shorter.
It was just for anybody that is a Chappelle Show fan. Oh yeah, I found it. Okay. Let me see if I can put it on the screen. If you're a Chappelle Show fan, it was probably the best skit of the night, and totally the kind of thing that I was happy they had him back on a TV show for doing. Okay, so you should be able to see it in the chat coming up soon.
No problem.
Let me know if you can see it.
Okay.
But yeah, it was real good.
We do now.
Okay, you know, cool.
Gang, all week long, people have been asking me if I was going to do any characters from Chappelle's Show tonight. And at first, I wasn't going to. And then I saw that episode of Walking Dead where they smashed this guy, Glenn, on the head and killed him. I know, it was devastating. Because I love that show, and Glenn was like one of my favorite characters. So I was like crushed. So in that spirit and with that in mind, I hope you enjoy this. How many pieces do you wish?
It's Tyrone Biggs.
He came out of nowhere.
My mouth feels dry.
Oh, he's a feisty one. I like that.
Well, with all due respect, Mr. Negan, in my line of work, when you're on your knees, don't give me bubblegum. They gave me penis.
Shut up. Well, a nigga named Negan.
They got the player haters. Silky Johnson.
Hello.
We ain't got Donnell to reprise his role. The white dude that do the news.
Oh.
Good God, have some goddamn respect for yourself. Man, the up. What do you want, money? Sex? Sex is it?
I can have some sex.
I have a wife. What?
Lil John. Not because black lives don't, he said. Kill us for what? Ah, levels.
I know that smell anyway.
Clayton Bigsby, the racist, the black, yes! The black white supremacist.
Frustration and cocoa butter. Looks like we got us a negro amongst us. Why don't you put that back down, monkey?
Monkey, don't you realize you're black?
Ah, from what I hear. His hat would say otherwise. Trump's America now, boy.
It sure is.
He said it sure is.
Yeah. Trump's America now, boy. It sure is. That's levels of that, because that is how it feels like white people was on the low.
Come on.
Well, I stand corrected. Seems like a lot of you still got... It's good. I like that. Makes it more fun. You can breathe. You can blink. You can cry.
Oh.
Yeah. A lot of you gonna be doing some of that.
Nice. Hey, Negan. Which one of us y'all gonna hit? Suspense is killing us.
Think you like a champ? Come here, you.
Strike one.
Yes!
Tyrone's crackhead body is moving around on it. His head is moving. You got decapitated and moving from the bat on its own. Anyway, it gets silly from here, but yeah, it's so good. It's so good, man. So, yeah, man, Chappelle back, man. And like I said, the monologue thing, I think people are promoting it for, because the jokes were funny, but people are promoting it for that last like 30 seconds to be like, see, we can all come together. It's like, just stop, man. Just stop.
It's a way for people to twist it around and make themselves feel fucking better.
Yeah, just stop, man. It's not all turn the other cheek, man. There's no, people have no legitimate reason to feel Donald Trump will turn around on his racism. I'm
right,
sorry.
Right. And that's the part that fucking frustrates me, is one of the things where you showed us who you really are and people go, nah, that's not really who we are. Why would I not believe you? You showed me.
Yeah, I don't, like, I'm not, like, I actually think policy wise, he's shown a plenty of reasons that he would change on policies. Like, he's changed in the middle of the election cycle. He's changed while campaigning. He's changed in the middle of sentences before, in the middle of press conferences. If you say, well, policy wise, he might change some things. Sure, he might. He was always consistent on racism, bigotry, xenophobia, all that shit.
That's what he got voted in on.
Yeah, at no point did he ever go back on any of those comments. So, nah, you can't be like, let's just have hope. Maybe he'll figure it out or some shit. Like, no,
yeah,
man.
Let's just have hope when niggas getting beat and people getting taken out and dragged out of his, when he was on the campaign trail, you know, so that the people that were getting beat and whooped by the participants at the campaign, you know, when they was campaigning and stuff, tell that to those people. Tell that to the people who he was, like, you know, saying the most vile and evilest shit out open on the mic. Tell that to those people, because the people that's telling us to quote unquote move on and get over it, the majority of them are like, well, they weren't talking to me.
Right.
And you know what? Fuck you. He was talking to me. So I'm going to be affected by this bullshit.
Yeah, I was reading, Dara, M. No Dot Wilson. She has a blog called whatwouldDaraDo.com on her website. And she wrote this piece called Things I Ain't Trying to Hear Post Trump Win. Oh. And she was like, here's what I'm ignoring today. This is America. You shouldn't be surprised. Double consciousness is the only way for a minority to survive here. Yes, I know the reality, but my unending humanity provides me with just enough delusion to get out of bed every morning.
Come on.
Number two, we've been here before and survived. One, I don't want to just survive. That's a low ass bar. Two, no, we didn't all survive and we won't all survive this. Now it's time to pick ourselves up and join together and do the work. One, if you can do that, cute for you. I'm granting myself permission to grieve. I'm granting myself permission not to be strong, exemplary, impenetrable. I've been doing the damn work all my life, and I'm taking a day or maybe even two to luxuriate in the full range of human emotion, just like other folks get to do. Number two, the only people who can actually completely dismantle white cishet Christian supremacy are white cishet Christian people or the derivations of thereof. My work doesn't mean shit if white people don't adopt racial actionable empathy.
Right.
I'm so embarrassed as a white person. Tell me what I can do. I got this one a lot. She says, caveat, I know you're trying to do the right thing. I will not. I tell you what to do, basically. I've been telling forever. Others have been writing and telling forever. Don't go to a group being oppressed and ask them to educate you. We are a little busy trying to survive. Use the Google. Read some shit. Listen to the back episodes of Twill. Be grateful for those of us who have had the time, energy, and privilege to wax philosophical and practical about our realities of oppression through journalism, blogging, podcasting, documentary making, etc. Don't ask us to do that work all over again. We are tired today. Let's not lump all Trump supporters together as racist and sexist and xenophobic and homophobic and bigoted. If you think that anything Trump could provide to you, putting you back in your rightful place as white Christian overlords or lowering your taxes as a tax plan does not actually do, is more important than the survival and safety of marginalized groups, yes, you are condoning all of those things. I know you think your grammy is cute and your cousin just thinks a little different, but you've been ignoring the truth for a while, and this electoral map gives me permission to stop sugarcoating it. Yeah. Yeah, I was saying that on Saturday, yesterday, I was like, America's not really ready to fight back against Trump yet. Mm-hmm. We're not yet. Like, some people got to lose some things, because the thing I realize now is why I'm comfortable being like, oh yeah, well that thing is racist, because I don't find that to be so uncommon. There's a large swath of America that even quote unquote well-meaning Americans who absolutely are scared to say something's racist. They give every single out as if this country wasn't founded on racism. It's like, it's so ahistorical to think racism persists with no one doing it, but very, a lot of people seem to believe that.
Right. And you know, and it's grounded in our history. It's like, we can even go as far back to the Native Americans. It's like the Native Americans had a home. They was fine. They happened to open up their front door and seen some white people out there freezing about to die. And I'm guaranteed they was like, should we help them? I don't know. Something might be wrong with them. But they had empathy and sympathy for them. So they was like, you know what? Cool. Come on in. We'll show you how to survive. And then they was like, oh, we well now. And they killed everybody in the house. They're like, this is our house now, bitch. That's exactly what you did to Native Americans. But then you wonder why people are like, well, we don't trust you now, because based on the foundation of America, you have shown that you're not trustworthy.
Well, it's just, honestly, you can't help until you're willing to call shit racist.
Right.
You just can't help. It's like, what most people that say, how can I help at this point, that are white people, they're saying, how can I feel better?
Right.
And you can't, because you're not really committed to helping. And
nope.
Cause the kind of help that it would take to change this country is not feel good work. You're not going to feel better. You're going to feel worse. You know, you're going to be confronting people that, you know, some of these people have fed you. Some of these people have taught you how to play sports. Some of these people have went to your recitals and games. And some of these people have watched you graduate and cross the stage at college. Like, these are people that are fucked up. You know, it reminds me a long, long time ago when we started this show, And we had a podcast, and I had this idea where I was like, boycott grandma, you know, and people was like, you know, that's too extreme, you know, but I've watched people start to do that. And as time has gone on, and to me, society is better for it. You know, we have to start making people pay for their bigoted beliefs. We can't just say if we're nice to them, they'll come around. That's really what strikes me about this Trump shit, is this idea that the world just hasn't been nice enough to a very rich white man who's in the most powerful office in the world. You know, it's like, well, if we're nice to him, maybe he won't be racist. Why would you believe that? Being nice to him hasn't stopped him in any way. He does what he wants to do. That's the point, you know? It's kind of weird to see people take that tack with like, well, I'm kind of glad that I got my white male friends out of my life, because, mm-hmm. you know, I had so many conversations where it's like, well, my grandfather, you know, he got so mad because he thought I was dating a black woman. I just made that joke at Thanksgiving. He went in the bathroom and wouldn't talk to me and stuff. And I was like, yeah, it's not really funny.
No, it is not.
And he's like, well, he's just old school. He's old and shit. And I'm like, yeah, that's not okay. He's still alive. He probably still vote. He probably still like, you know, and the fact that your family tolerates that, it says a lot. It says a lot, man. You know, like this getting grandfathered in and shit, it's not just about getting grandfathered in, because there's attacks on college campuses with racist shit. And it's because no one ever stopped it in that family. No one ever turned around and said, hey, we don't do that. You know, you got to tell your kids that shit early. Like, that's not what we're into, you know. But that, you know, it's just kind of interesting to see the way that the shit went, you know. I hate to be cold-blooded, but that dude's grandfather passed that year, and I remember being like, and because fuck him. Like, it's real to me. I know you sad and you're crying because he pushed you on the swings. I don't give a fuck, you know what I mean? Like, it's gotta be that serious. So America's not ready to be that way. You still want to go to Thanksgiving, you still want to go to Christmas, you still want, you know, your racist aunt to be able to see her niece and nephew. You're not ready to take that stand. And that, and the thing is, coddling racism and bigotry and shit, it hasn't taught anybody yet. Like, no one's changing for that. And they're definitely not changing fast enough. Like, it's just, the world's not changing fast enough when this shit happens. Like, racist people and bigots and stuff, they make logical leaps to protect their bigotry. So even if they love their mixed race grandchild, there's a lot of people that are going to be like, yep, but I'm still going to find ways to be racist. Shit, I talk to you. Sometimes you see people on Twitter or Facebook or whatever where they're like, I'm mixed race, and yeah, my grandfather was racist, man. He used to do this, this, and this. I mean, he was cool to us, but he would say this, this, and this. And you're like, yeah, you find ways to skip around the maze to get back to racism, you know? So yeah, the world's not ready to confront it. And you're not ready if you're asking black people, what can I do to help? You're not ready. Like, you should have already been on people's ass. It's way too late in the game.
Right. That's why I said yesterday, what was your solidarity? Because all of a sudden, you want solidarity. You want to come out and up in arms and be mad and upset. But the people that you need to talk to was not us. And also, it's one of those things, too, when it comes to defending marginalized people, it is a lonely walk. And that's something that people don't want to admit. Black people already have come to the conclusion where, hey, when we care about us, we know most people are not going to give a fuck. White people have not come to that conclusion where I care about marginalized groups. They're really not willing to deal with the backlash of losing family, of losing friends, of being alone, being in smaller social circles, you know, having your whole foundation of what you believe or how you thought people think about you change. When you're that white person that comes up and say, but y'all, that ain't right. You getting stares, you getting looked at. Nobody wants to be ostracized, and nobody wants to be kicked out of their groups, and that's what's going to happen if most of them stand up. So they're not willing to do that, but what they are willing to do is come to the marginalized group and go, what can I help? Don't ask me. Go to your family and friends and ask and talk to them about it.
Yeah, I actually had a white lady on Twitter today, because I was quoting Solange's song, all my niggas in the whole wide world. Right, so I said, I just told her that, like, all my niggas in the whole wide world. And she was like, I don't like that language and we shouldn't use it. It was a white woman too, right? Okay. It was like, we shouldn't use that language and stuff. And I was like, what? I don't, she was like, cause my grandkids, you know, they can't use that language or whatever. And I'm like, fuck your grandkids. I don't care about them little niggas. They'll be okay.
Right.
Like, they don't follow me on Twitter. This is just you trying to control the way I talk because you can't say it. And right. Your kid, grandkids can't say it. Mm-mm. And she, you know what her timeline's full of? Not my president, liberal this, liberal that, every article against Trump. You know, this isn't just some, like, when we talk about racism, this isn't just some problem of white people that, you know, wear great, make America great again shirts and hats and live out in the middle of bumblefuck nowhere and hate black people even though they don't know any. This isn't that. There's a lot of people that claim to be quote unquote on our side that don't fuck with us.
Come on.
You know, yeah. Like, she want to censor me in a country where white people elected a fucking bigot, but you worry about it's me saying nigga on Twitter.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's going to stop America from getting together.
Get out of my fucking face.
Yeah, it was just people are amazing like that.
Right, and something that I'm tired of too, I'm tired of people using their fucking children as a goddamn excuse to get behind bullshit. People use it as an excuse to get behind homophobic. They use it to be behind sexuality and birth control and all this shit. Everything about the goddamn kids until it's not about the goddamn kids. Quit using your kids as a fucking excuse.
Yeah. I said to all my niggas in the whole wide world, she put, I think we all need to quit using that word. My grandchildren are not comfortable hearing that word, and I think that's great. Just saying.
But you expect me to have a reasonable conversation with you?
Mm-mm. Right. Where do we go from here?
Right. Where do that, and that's my thing on social media when people call me crazy. Where do we go from here?
So I said, them little niggas will be all right. And then she said, I think you're missing my point. You're making it okay, but not for white people. Can't we try to talk to each other the way we want to be talked to? This conversation wasn't for you. Right. To all my niggas in the whole wide world. Guess what? I'm not talking to you.
Right. Where did you come from?
Right. So yeah, my niggas can address me as my nigga and I won't be offended because that's who the conversation was for. You know? It was,
yeah. And what's so amazing, and white people don't like to be left out of shit. You know, right. Don't leave me out. And if I'm left out, I will come and make the situation about me, even when it's not motherfucking about me. Everything is not about you. And that's the thing that make marginalized groups fucking infuriate. And that's what make us mad, because it's like, we can't have shit. Anything we have, you feel obligated to be there. Like, you got to be there. You know, we can't have anything. It's like, you come, you take people's culture, you take people's background, you take people's dances, you take the color of their skin, you take their hair, you take their hips, you take their lips, you take their thighs, you take everything about them. But what you don't want is the racism that comes with actually living in that color, because at any period of time, you can dip your ass in some water or wash that tanner off and you go back to being fucking white. We cannot do that. And that's the part that makes people mad when you come and you say dumb shit like that. It's like, bitch, nobody asked you, will you please go away? And then they're offended because you told their ass to go the fuck away.
Yeah, it's just amazing. This is amazing what people do go through, because ultimately it's about controlling our voice,
right?
You know, like, why did your culture get to do this and this and mine doesn't? And it's like, you know, actually, we learned it from you. Okay, like, you taught us, nigga. Okay, it's, I mean, at this point, this the only thing we've appropriated back. So just give us our shit and shut up, okay?
You got everything else. What's the problem?
But yeah, it was just a funny exchange. You know, I had to hit her with the sweet soul, but
I don't blame you.
It was just like in a world where people are talking about Trump, you still worried about one black man on Twitter saying a conversation for black people where he can say niggas.
Right, because
okay.
It's less work.
It's less work. It's not, you don't right. really want to, you want to feel better, but you don't want to do shit.
Right. You don't, that's the funny part. You don't want to do the work, because the thing is, there are a lot of white people that are actually doing the work, that actually understand how empathy and sympathy, like, their ground roots, you know. And the thing about it, and even a lot of them have gone through the learning curve of fucking up and saying the wrong thing and being inappropriate, because it's one thing about a privileged group. You have got to learn that you can easily offend people outside of your group if you just don't know the rules, don't know what to say, and don't know what to do. And it takes a while to learn. And the thing about learning is sometimes you just got to shut the fuck up and just let people talk and just kind of listen and observe. And it's not an overnight process. It's not an overnight fix. And the average white person does not want to deal it be in a group where they're the marginalized group. Like, white people don't want to be the marginalized group. It's like, I mean,
that's what this election is.
Right. They don't want to be the marginalized group. We're not trying to learn. We're not trying to evolve. We're not trying to change. We don't really want a difference. We just get to the point to where, as soon as it's uncomfortable, as soon as it makes me feel bad, as soon as it challenges my belief, as soon as I have to give up shit, oh, I'm opting out.
Yeah, that's why the whole thing about, like, going back to Dara's point, the whole thing about why are we acting like all Trump voters are this, that, and the other, is because they all are.
Right.
You just can't, you can't be in for a little bit. You're in for a penny, in for a pound on this one. And I, because ultimately, you would betray me. The only thing that Trump was consistent on, he was inconsistent on every single policies. We talked about a wall. He goes to Mexico. He doesn't bring this wall up that Mexico has to pay for. He talks about repealing Obamacare. Now he wants to keep parts of Obamacare. Like, it's just, like, none of his policies was he ever consistent on. And that's not why people voted for him. Everyone who voted for him, 100% of people who voted for him, voted for him because of his policies around race, xenophobia, homophobia, Islamophobia. Every single person. There's not one who didn't. Like, you know, because his economic, they didn't look at his policies. His tax plan is going to raise taxes. It's like, all his shit doesn't make sense except for the appeal to white people to go back to quote unquote making America great again. Mm-hmm. And it worked, you know. So since those white people voted for him, yeah, it's your shit to clean up. There's no black people that at fault. There's no Muslim people at fault. No Latino people at fault. Like, people were trying to parse that shit out. Well, 13% of black men voted for him. 30% of this. No. Most white people voted for him. You look at an average white person, the likelihood of them voting for Trump is high as fuck.
Come on.
They either did not vote or they voted for him. Mm-hmm. That's the likelihood. That's what you got to sit with. You know, you're a white male, even higher percentage, like vast majority of them voted. White women, over half voted for him. 40 something percent voted for Hillary, and then some didn't vote, or they vote third party and shit. Mm-hmm. Point being, we know for a fact that white people are like, this is their candidate.
Yes,
you can't run from that because you don't want to deal with the guilt of it. You know, it's guilt by association, you know. So yeah, man, if you voted for him, you definitely part of the problem, and you definitely racist. I'm not going to be nice about it. And I understand it's a non-starter in political circles, mm-hmm. but I guess what? I don't have to run in those circles. I don't give a fuck. Nope. I'm not doing a TV show. I'm not worried about turning America off. I'm more worried about my own integrity, and my own integrity requires that I say the truth as I see it, man. And as I see it, there's 0% of motherfuckers that voted for him that didn't, that aren't complicit in the racism, xenophobia, bigotry, and Islamophobia. It's 100%.
100%.
She also goes on, if it was only millennials voting, we'd have been fine. You are posting, tweeting a sorry ass map from October. If millennials came out the way the map predicted, we wouldn't be here in the first place. No, racism and bigotry are not dying out. No, America's not any better than it was years ago. Yeah, that's another thing people try to do is, well, it's different. We covered on this show, anyone who's been listening to the show for a while, we cover every goddamn day just about some bigotry happening in college dorms. Racism ain't dying. You know, it's not dying. Like, the idea that it's dying is just so stupid. You know, the harassment people get on Twitter constantly and shit, which is a platform for mostly younger people, and you got a bunch of egg avatar ass racists. Like, you know, the alt-right has been resigned to Reddit and these social media forums and shit. That's young people.
Come on.
Old people don't be on there like that. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe one or two, but for the average user's young. That's who these sites go after. The shit's not going nowhere. Mm-mm. All right, and then she had a joke to end. 2016 is canceled. Just kidding. I'm there with you. 2016 can go to hell. now I have a migraine and stomach ache and can't stop crying. I'm going to take some shit, watch some shit, and keep holding myself. Yes, I realize attempting to write a post with some insight is hypocritical to my I'm done teaching today motherfuckers claims, but old habits die hard. I promise myself though, I'm bowing out after this. Peace and healing, y'all. Dar. So yeah, I appreciate her writing that. Lena Dunham said she never truly believed Trump could win and admit she felt smug at the polling booth on election day and then broke out in hives at Clinton's defeat. So yeah, I mean, she was liberal white women's Beyonce, man, for Hillary Clinton. Like, you know, definitely, like, I'm sure it's a shock to them. Because that's the other thing is, yep, you know,
looking around like, y'all niggas ain't shocked either. And everybody looking like,
I mean, a lot of people are shocked.
Yeah, right,
I mean,
yes.
But that's the other thing about all this shit is, the insulary bubbles that people get put in or put themselves in. It does kind of keep the other points of view and shit out, you know? So yeah, I can imagine you'd be shocked. Everybody you know fucks with so-and-so, and online, everybody fucks right. with so-and-so and whatnot. I mean, it ain't, you know, plus Donald Trump's not the kind of candidate people want to be loud and vocally argue with you about unless they're these overt trucker hat wearing racist people. The kind of dude that, you know, would fuck Lena Dunham and be in her social circles and, date Lena Dunham and all, like the kind of person that she would think is on my side because they're actually socially cool is what I'm saying. Like,
right,
we can,
right.
we go on dates, we hang out, we're friends, we're mm-hmm. in the same circles.
Right.
That person could definitely go into the booth and pull the lever for Trump because mm-hmm. fuck her. They're not thinking about her in that booth, mm-mm. you know? And that's the betrayal I think a lot of white women that voted for Hillary are feeling. That correct. Just thought she had it in the bag. And the betrayal of white women who, you know, weren't supporting, you know, Hillary, but on the, you know, in public, they seem to be on board with all that shit, but they're not, you know? Speaking of Trump, he doesn't want to live in the White House full time. He wants to actually live in the Trump Tower where he's used to the, you know, amenities. I'm sure it's more probably nicer in Trump Tower than the White House. So he basically wants to be in the White House most of the week and then basically take weekends off and go back to Trump Tower. Yep. New York Times says he would like to do what he is used to. Run the country from Trump Tower. Mm-hmm.
Somebody can go up in there and blow that bitch up while he up in there because they know he there on Saturday and Sunday.
Yep. Obamacare enrollment is surging after Trump's victory. Mm-hmm. People trying to get grandfathered in. meanwhile, he's already kind of pushed back and said, I might not get rid of all of Obamacare. It's not too bad. So I guess he finally had the time to actually Google it. there's also a million women march happening planned for January 21st, which is the day after Trump's inauguration. They want to bring a million women and feminists to the nation's capital. It will formally protest his inauguration as commander in chief. The idea for the mass protest, which will see marchers begin at the Lincoln Memorial and finish outside of the White House, is nascent. Basic plans for the demonstration began popping up on Facebook within the last 24 hours. It appears organizers are launching Facebook groups in individual states. So far, 16 states have pages on the social media network. Organizers seem to have some technical difficulties with the national page. So one of the local pages has been converted to what will now serve as the national pages. The group organizing demonstration said it plans for protesters to march from Lincoln Memorial to the White House to show our strength, power, and courage and demonstrate our disapproval of the new president and his values in a peaceful march. All women, femme, trans, gender nonconforming, and feminist others are invited to march on Washington, D.C. the day before following the inauguration of the president-elect. This march is a show of solidarity to demand our safety and health in a time when our country is marginalizing us and making sexual assault inelectable and unforgivable norm. We align with all POC and LGBTQ causes, and we will show our support in a nonviolent protest. The New York Facebook group adds, which is inclusive, this is an inclusive march, and everyone who supports women's rights are welcome. One thing organizers are suggesting is to be quick about reserving hotel accommodations in Washington DC for the weekend. Hotel rooms are already expected to be limited thanks to the inauguration the day before, so reserving ASAP is advised. In addition, marches are being planned to take place around the country, so if traveling to the Capitol isn't feasible that weekend, there might be an event closer to home that protesters could take part in. So there you guys go. You can go march. I was making jokes because I don't know who organized it, and I was like, because of the name. Now, I'm not saying this is, I don't know if it is or not, but because of the name, it feels like a black person probably didn't come up with this, or if they are black, they don't know everything about that brand, because the Million Man March was started by the Nation of Islam, and it's such a black thing, and they marched in DC and they got together. It just feels like, why would you try to do that when you know the brand of the Million Man March is the Million Woman March, and million, you know, the Million Families, I think they did also, is about black people coming together. And now it's like, but now it's about all us feminists coming together. It's like, oh man, this like, what are y'all chance gonna be? You know what I mean? Like, no lattes, we won't stay. No lattes, we won't stay. They take our rights to kiss dogs on the mouth of my cold dead hands. What do we want? Sensibly priced capri pants at Old Navy. When do we want it? During the holiday season, preferably. 2, 4, 6, 8. It's our right to appropriate. Yes, queen. Yes, queen. What do we want? Women's rights. When do we want them? When it's a man on the ballot. Because we didn't vote for Hillary. We white women didn't. It's our fault. It's our bad. This time we won't vote like dad. I like that one. We support females. If the show is emails, we support females. If the show is emails, that's gonna be a good one.
That's a good one. That's a real good one.
Trump's a joke. We can't cope. Is it too late to change our votes?
It is.
That's all right. Ladies, get out there and get in. Get your UGG boots in formation. Schumer, Dunham, Tina Fey, give our country back today. I feel like that's gonna be the keynote speakers. Miley Cyrus, Tina Fey, Lena Dunham. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler gonna speak at the same time. Amy Schumer gonna speak. It's gonna be all white feminism TM all day. Someone said music by Katy Perry.
Of course.
Someone asked me, will we have a burning of the yoga pants? I said, no, you're taking it a little too damn far.
They ain't running yoga pants.
Yes, we know it's not gonna happen. Yeah, but you know, Million White Women March, guys, gonna get that pumpkin spice back or else. That's right.
Have a good time.
It's gonna be a good time, all right. A history teacher got suspended for a lesson showing the remarkable parallels between the rise of Trump and Hitler. That's right. History teacher got suspended for teaching history. Oh man. You know your history and you'll get suspended is what I'm saying. He was suspended to teaching Thursday over a lesson in which he examined the parallels between the rise of Trump and German fascist dictator Adolf Hitler. The Monterey Herald said the Mountain View High School placed teacher Frank Navarro on paid leave after a parent complained in an email about the lesson and the statements that he made in class. He's a 40-year-old classroom veteran. I mean, a 40-year classroom veteran. So this is an old, experienced teacher.
Right.
And an expert in Holocaust studies.
Come on.
He said, this feels like we're trying to squash free speech. Everything I talk about is factually based. They can go and check it out. It's not propaganda or bias if it's based on hard facts. The school district, Navarro said, would neither reveal the contents of the complaint email nor go over the lesson plan with him to determine what the parent found problematic.
They talked about fucking Trump.
Trump's America, dog. I guarantee you the school administration voted for Trump. Mountain View Los Altos High School District Superintendent Jeff Harding told the Herald that Navarro was originally suspended through Wednesday, November 16, but he could return to the classroom as early as Monday. "We're interested in getting Frank back in the classroom. We're just trying to maintain our due diligence. We have a heightened emotional environment right now with the election. It's always a challenge to maintain a line in the classroom."
Mm-mm. All the fucking presidents has been elected, and people probably have done shit like this where they compare and make all this shit. I mean, you're a goddamn history teacher, and you won't teach your children about politics and shit like this, but because it's about Trump, all of a sudden you get a complaint. One email caused all this ruckus.
Some of his students said that the lessons were one-sided and that he used language that Trump supporters would find offensive. Wonder what color them students were.
White.
Other students have defended the 65-year-old teacher who has won multiple awards for his studies of the Nazi Holocaust. In class, Navarro told his students that Hitler's persecution of Jewish people bears remarkable parallels to Trump's campaign rhetoric about Muslims, Latino immigrants, and Black Americans. "I said to school officials, I'm not pulling these facts out of my hat. It's based on experience and work. And if I'm wrong, show me where I'm wrong." And there was silence.
Right.
Navarro is a Mexican-American born and raised in Oakland. He said that his Latino students have felt vulnerable and fearful in the wake of Trump's campaign. "I've had Mexican kids come up and say, hey, Mr. Navarro, I might be deported," he said. "Is it better to see bigotry and say nothing? That's what the principal was telling me during our conversation. In my silence, I would be substantiating bigotry." Hey man, you the real hero, dog. Keep teaching that shit. Fuck them. You know what I mean?
Because then you was like, well, these are facts. And my thing is like, I'm a goddamn award-winning teacher. Why would I fucking teach children something that's not true?
Yeah, he's a expert.
What? My whole life is dedicated. 40 years, that's your goddamn life. My whole life is dedicated for this.
Right. Like, it can't be... I'm just an expert. Yeah, well, I'm a principal that got an email. You gotta go, buddy.
he the real MVP.
Let's see what else we got here,
because all you did in my opinion was show them students next time he come up with something they're gonna be goddamn, y'all gonna constantly be suspending him, because you know I wouldn't change my goddamn lesson plan for they little feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all gonna have to fire me. I'm gonna keep teaching. Fuck you.
Remember when I said that we would have this is gonna be like the Terminator world if Donald Trump take over? Well, scientists are saying it's already too late to ban killer robots. Researchers say autonomous weapons have and will become possible.
Yeah, they thought it was a cute joke to teach, you know, AI. I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all some of these other sci-fi shit.
Mm-hmm. These documentaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, documentaries. What are we talking about? Based in facts.
Researchers have warned it is already too late to stop killer robots and say banning them would be little more than a temporary solution. University of Buffalo researchers claim society is entering into a situation where systems like these have and will become possible. Elon Musk and Professor Stephen Hawking have both warned that artificial intelligence could develop a will of its own that is in conflict with that of humanity and could herald dangers like powerful autonomous weapons. Killer robots have a Pentagon budget line and a group of non-governmental organizations, including Human Rights Watch, is already working collectively to stop their development. They claim governance and control of systems like killer robots need to go beyond the end products. "We have to deconstruct the term killer robot into smaller cultural techniques," says Taro Carpi, assistant professor of media study, whose paper with Mark Bolin, UB professor of media study, and Yvette Granta, a graduate student at the university, appears in the International Journal of Cultural Studies. "We need to go back and look at the history of machine learning
and killer robots kill what why will what so they're trying to say call them something else to make it look cute.
No, it said we need to break it down. I don't think it said call it something else. What do you say? He said we need to deconstruct the term killer robot into smaller cultural techniques. We need to go back and look at the history of machine learning, pattern recognition, and predictive modeling, and how these things are conceived. He's an expert in critical platform and software studies whose interests include automation, artificial intelligence, and how these systems fail. What are the principles and ideologies of building the automated system? What can it do? By looking at killer robots, we are forced to address questions that are set to define the coming age of automation, artificial intelligence, and robotics, he says. Are humans better than robots to make decisions? If not, then what separates humans from robots? Then when we are defining what robots are and what they do, we also define what it means to be a human in this culture and this society, he said. Previously, humans have had the agency on the battlefield to pull the trigger. Well, what happens when this agency is given to a robot because it is of its complexity? We can't even trace why particular decisions are made in particular situations.
Zeros and ones? Is shit just programmed to do it? What are we talking about here?
Well, he's saying, like, what if... because think about, like, how you can't even get your computer to work every day.
No.
Right. Sometimes your computer just, like, up, turning off, doing a reboot in the middle of your shit, right?
I'm getting a software update.
Right. And you don't know why, but it might be a critical software update that's about your security, and it can't wait because people are hacking computers. You don't know all the ins and outs. You just get frustrated because you're like, I don't understand, why did my computer just fucking reset in the middle of me working on it?
Right.
Right? That's all you care about.
Right.
People complain about that shit all day, you know? Oh, why my iPhone do this? Oh, I don't like that. But it might be some shit that it has to do, or else your shit's gonna brick later or whatever. You just don't know. That's what they're saying. You put a robot on the battlefield, it might make a decision to do some shit that you just don't understand. Like, why is it rebooting in the middle of the battle? Why, you know?
True.
Why did it shoot that person but not this person? You know, you just don't necessarily know. I think their point is, it stands. There's machines do calculated shit.
A
machine can do just a mathematical calculation and computation that we would never be able to keep up with as a person.
True.
In milliseconds. So, right. Yeah, I completely get why you would be like, if you put these machines out there and you let them make decisions, we're not going to understand all the decisions. Mm-mm. You know?
Because there's no emotions behind those decisions. That's all strategic.
Right. So, I don't know. You know, it's just interesting, man. You know, think about self-driving cars. People probably want those self-driving Ubers. You probably gonna be like, I don't understand, why is it taking this route, why is it doing that? Ain't a person to ask now. It's a fucking car. The car decided. It's already done a scan of all the traffic, and
you
in the back seat getting mad, and maybe you just avoided a traffic jam. I don't know.
True.
You know, or maybe it's sentient and it's gonna drive off a fucking bridge because kill all humans.
You don't know that either.
You don't know is the point.
You don't know what signal it's picking up.
And now Donald Trump's in control, so the robots probably are gonna be like, these motherfuckers are ready to kill themselves. Let's help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, and you know what? I'm under the conclusion that within the next 10 to 20 years, Optimus Prime and the Transformers are gonna come here.
Maybe.
Based in facts.
Zika virus 100% successful in clinical trials on rats, researchers declare as they await human results. So that's good. Someone on Twitter definitely reminded me when I posted this article with no comment. I didn't comment. I just posted the article. And they said, well, rats aren't humans. Thanks, buddy.
Did they not know how most of these studies go?
I didn't know rats weren't human. I watch a lot of Ninja Turtles, and Splinter can walk and talk and use a cane. I thought rats were humans. I didn't know that there's a difference between clinical trials on rats and humans. I don't even know why I tweeted that article. That's crazy. I shouldn't even talk about the global spread of this disease, Zika, and any clinical trials that may show some level of promise fighting it. I shouldn't even bring that up. I don't know what I was thinking, so sorry, buddy. My bad. That's all on me. What the fuck was wrong with me, right?
I don't know.
I'm an idiot. I'm out here thinking rats and humans are the same fucking thing.
Yeah, you didn't hear the Voting Rats Act that Trump trying to shoot down?
The Voting Rats Act?
Mm-hmm.
No, I hadn't heard about the Voting Rats Act here.
Mm-hmm. They be protesting the street with cheese and everything. You ain't been seeing them?
Well, now they have pumpkin spice cheese. Maybe they can join the white women march. Mm-hmm. March, and they can all do it together.
On all the turtles.
Yeah. So there's this serial killer dude that they arrested. They found a woman in a box on his property. She was chained up.
Oh shit!
And still alive. He had killed her boyfriend. His name's Ted Kolep. He left clues in Amazon reviews for products.
What?
Yeah. He also killed six other people. Investigators in Spartanburg County, South Carolina examined 140 product reviews that Colette apparently posted on Amazon after purchasing 95 secluded acres near Woodruff nearly 2.5 years ago. The reviews, which were posted under the name Me, but were linked to a wish list for Colette, covered a variety of items that may have been used to abduct and kill his victims.
Wow.
There was one that had it was about locks. He posted this review: solid locks. Have 5 on the shipping container. Won't stop them, but sure will slow them down till they are too old to care. Another review posted September 2014 praised a knife's quality. Haven't stabbed anyone yet, but I'm keeping the dream alive, and when I do, it will be with a quality tool like this.
Holy shit.
Yep, that didn't flag anything.
Right on Amazon. And somebody was like, oh, you know what, I like that review.
Right, yeah, that didn't flag a single thing. Amazon.com is like, yep, that's fine to post, and I don't see why anybody would have a problem with that. Valid. He also says the same user urged consumers to keep a folding shovel in their car for when you have to hide the bodies and you left the full-size shovel at home. Does not come with the midget, which would have been nice.
What?
That's right, Karen. He didn't say little person. Yeah.
So we got little shovels like you do mini travel packs, you know, with the small toothbrush and toothpaste and miniature floss. Like that's what we're saying, in case you can't bring the full size with you.
I don't know. He got jokes, Karen. He's a serial killer, but he got to work on his type 5.
Apparently so.
The 30-year-old Brown, who went missing with her boyfriend in August, was found chained by the neck and ankles in a metal shed, and Carver's body was found shot to death and buried on Colette's property. He pleaded guilty in 1987 to kidnapping and committing a dangerous crime against children in the first degree, and he served all 15 years of his sentence and was released in 2001. According to court records, Colette, then 15, used his father's handgun to force a 14-year-old neighbor into his home, where he restrained her with duct tape and raped the girl. Prosecutors were furious that Colette was allowed to plead guilty to a non-sexual crime. Oh, so he wouldn't be on the registry. It would appear that his behavior has been progressively worsening, and now it has escalated to the point where he has sexually assaulted an innocent child, wrote Kim Otto, a deputy adult probation officer. One can only speculate as to where the defendant's behavior will lead. It is this writer's opinion that this is the type of individual, one with little or no conscience, who presents the greatest risk to the community.
And this is what this person wrote back in 1980-something, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. After his release from prison, Colette moved from Arizona to South Carolina, but got a pilot's license, earned a degree at the University of South Carolina Upstate, and pursued a real estate career. The reviews linked to Colette's wish list occasionally refer to an Eagle song, Hotel California, where guests can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. You also put on another review, now my locks have locks. Place is Hotel California now, the reviewer wrote January 2015. Colette may have posted lyrics from Hotel California on Carver's Facebook page October 1st, more than a month after the couple went missing. Wow. Last thing I remember, I was running for the door, the post read. I had to find a passage back to the place I was before. Relax, said the nightman. We are programmed to receive. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. This motherfucker was crazy.
And somebody recognized that back in 19. They was like, look, y'all need to flag this motherfucker.
Maybe that's how they caught him, though, because he left a message on her Facebook page, or I think the dude's Facebook page, after killing them.
And they probably went through Facebook going, why is this random post on here, and let's investigate.
Right. He also built a successful real estate firm during his killing spree and was known for watching porn during work and openly talking about being a sex offender. I mean, I don't even want to say guess the race. I mean, you guys know.
In Trump's America, and it's one of the things where you go back and you look and you like, if he would have registered back then, when him moving, it would have flagged up like, oh, y'all know this motherfucker in South Carolina, y'all need to keep an eye on him.
Yeah, Ty Collip, it said,
before you move on, who knows how many other people he may have done this to over these years.
Yeah. I'm not moving on, though. There's more about him.
Okay, that there's no record of. People have reported missing that they might fuck around and find on these 95 acres worth of property. You can't tell me this is his first time doing this.
Well, earlier I said he killed 6 people. He's said to have exhibited a wealth of strange behavior that sent shivers down the spine of those who knew the now confessed serial killer. Despite creating a successful real estate firm, his behavior left many who encountered him disturbed and puzzled. His strange acts included watching pornographic videos during work, making macabre jokes in marketing literature, and openly discussing that he was a sex offender. But despite the creepy behavior, he was an award-winning agent described as a hard worker and good boss. All the while, authorities said, all the while, authorities say he was hiding a grisly secret that included 7 killings over 13 years. He gunned down 4 people at a motorcycle shop in 2003 and within the last year killed 3 more. The crimes were uncovered earlier this month when investigators rescued a woman chained up in a 30-foot-long storage container on his property.
30-foot-long container?
He was the kind of type AA, hair on fire kind of guy. You felt that if you wanted to take you out, he could take you out easily, said Lawrence Shorts, a mortgage banker who worked on transactions with Collip. Collip made ominous comments about having trouble sleeping and how he would know where people live, Shorts said. Neighbor Scott Waldrop said Collip bragged about chasing people off his rural property with an arsenal including guns with silencers and night vision equipment. Collip moved to South Carolina sometime after 2001 completion of his 15-year sentence for raping another teenager at gunpoint in Arizona. He was in his early 30s and began studying at Greenville Technical College in 2003. While attending classes that November, he killed 4 employees at the Superbike Motorsports store in Chesney. Those slayings went unsolved for 13 years. When Collip was arrested last week, the sheriff said he confessed to the bike shop shootings and pointed investigators to 3 shallow graves on his land. Detectives notified the victims' families of Collip's confession and said he was an angry customer at the shop. Motives aren't clear for the more recent killings and the woman's kidnapping. In 2004, Collip transferred to the University of South Carolina upstate and ranked near the top of his class the next year. He finished his business degree in 2007, then distinguished himself in real estate. 2008 news article said he was the Weichert Realtors' top-selling rookie agent for a region spanning parts of both Carolinas. Next, he went into business for himself, registering Ty Collip and Associates in 2009. The firm's website listed over a dozen agents, but also an unusual sales pitch. Describing the team that developed the firm's marketing, it said, "We threatened not to feed them if it didn't work. It's amazing the motivation you can get after day 3.
What?
Yeah. Still, Collip developed a hard-working reputation. Ty did his job well, and we never had any issues or saw any flags in the years we worked with him. Velocity Design Group owner Danielle Cuddy said in an email. An agent for his firm, Cherry Lawrence, said that they met a decade ago and they were study partners at USC Upstate, and she said the accusation surprised her. Everybody loses their temper, but as far as out of character for what would be normal, no, she said. Now this is all interesting, right? Because keep in mind, they're all saying, oh, you seem normal, this seems crazy to me, right? Just keep in mind. Okay. Shorts, the banker, said Collip appeared successful, driving expensive cars. Records show he owned 2 BMWs and a motorcycle. Collip worked from home, and Shorts came over occasionally to exchange documents. He used to walk in his office, and he had porno going on. Keep in mind, they just say,
That's not normal behavior.
I can remember walking in 2 or 3 times, and there was pornography on his dadgum laptop. Realtors would walk in, and he had it on there, too. Shorts distanced himself in recent years, saying Collip would make statements such as, "You know, I don't sleep much at night, and I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I kind of know where people live." Collip appeared to be a loner. His neighborhood was close-knit, but neighbors say he never attended its occasional get-togethers. Collip's sex offender status was common knowledge, though Collip claimed the charges were trumped up after a joyride with another teenager upset her father. But authorities described something far worse. When he was 15, he tied up a 14-year-old at gunpoint and raped her in Arizona in 1986. Court documents say he pleaded guilty to kidnapping and was sentenced in adult court. Kolob had psychological problems from a young age, according to records obtained by WHNS-TV. An Arizona judge wrote in 1987 that he was bright but emotionally dangerous and preoccupied with sex. In 1987, pre-sentencing report says a neighbor described him as a devil on a chain. He had moved in with his father in Arizona around age 12 after growing up in South Carolina and Georgia. His parents divorced when he was an infant. Now his mother is defending him, saying he is not a monster. He was doing it for enjoyment, Regina Tagg said of the South Carolina cases. He was doing it because he was mad and he was hurt. On Facebook, he frequently described trimming trees and moving boulders on a 95-acre property near Woodruff, about 10 miles from his primary home and more. Wow. In September, he wrote that buying land was a way to stay out of trouble. You won't have any time to misbehave no more, too sore and tired. But that sprawling property was where authorities say they rescued the chained woman and began unraveling the killings. Investigators say they unearthed three bodies there. Authorities also confiscated assault rifles and handguns. It's not clear how Kolob obtained them. South Carolina law prohibits felons from owning guns. Oh, you don't say. Found a way around the gun laws, huh? Waldrop, the neighbor, met Kolob soon after. He bought the property in 2014. To keep people out, Kolob installed deer cameras, bear traps, and chain link fence. Bear traps. To keep people out. Okay. To me, he didn't seem like no threat. We just shoot the bull. I don't know all this stuff nobody knew. He seemed like a threat to me. He seemed cool.
Yeah, just walking just in, bear traps, watching and, porn and shit. You
yeah,
know?
Just night vision goggles and bear traps. Hey, talking know, about keeping people out of trouble.
Wrong with that? You know, man had a few landmines out there. I don't know.
Yeah, seemed normal. I mean, what's?
Yeah. So this is white people normal. Okay.
Yeah, I don't understand.
But yet, racism is too far fetched. Get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm. Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me too. I mean, it's strange to me too.
Recently, he cooperated with police showing investigators two grave sites. Authorities identified the people buried there as 25-year-old Megan Lee McCraw Coxey and her husband, 29-year-old Johnny Joe Coxey of Spartanburg. They had been missing since December. Kolob was arrested after Kayla Brown, who had been missing for 2 months, was found chained like a dog inside of a shipping container on his rural land. Police said that I rescued her after hearing a banging sound when they arrived on his property with a search warrant. The body of her boyfriend, Charlie Carver, 32, was also found on the property. His cause of death was multiple gunshot wounds.
So she probably constantly beaten. She just happened right. to be beaten and they heard it.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe they heard it. They had a warrant, so maybe they were looking for out there for her.
And she probably,
like, they had some evidence of some reason to search his property.
Right, and she was like, oh, I hear a lot of people. Somebody's here.
Yeah, so... Yeah, they said, let's see, Kayla Brown's emotional discovery. Yeah, she was chained to a container like a dog for 2 months. Both Ezell and Whitfield described their difficulty trying to find the missing couple and expressed how emotional it was to finally rescue Brown last week. Brown, who had been hired to clean the homes of Kolob that he was selling, went to his property with her boyfriend, Charlie Carver, where the alleged serial killer pulled out a gun and took them hostage. So maybe people knew, like, oh, that's the last place they were seen. We need a warrant.
Of course, she went for a job. I mean, what did you think?
Brown later said she witnessed Kolob kill Carver, whose body was found on the property. Both detectives, Charlene Ezell and Bradley Whitfield, described their difficulty trying to find the missing couple, expressed how emotional it was to finally rescue her. She just looked at me and said, thank you so much for finding me. When you finally get answers, it's very emotional. I didn't know if I would ever see this girl alive. When I saw Kayla, that was an amazing sight. I told her mother later that it was almost as beautiful as I was seeing my own child. To me, she was beautiful. I had cold chills. Detective Whitfield broke down and added, I think we all saw a lot of things that day that are going to stay with us. It could be anybody's child, anybody's wife or husband. I wish we could have done more. So, yep. Just going to work, watching porn. Nobody thought it was a big deal. Let us walk in his office. He's got some porn going.
Bear traps and shit. Mm-mm.
Seemed like a pretty cool guy.
Deer cameras. This is normal behavior.
Yeah. Put some bear traps out. You know how you put bear traps out sometimes, guys? You know? How many of you guys probably got bear traps in your front yard right now? I mean, you know. Yeah, sometimes you gotta put bear traps out.
Yeah, sometimes just throw the phone up anytime, you know.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
I mean, what's
sometimes you get your night vision goggles and your gun, you go out at 3 a.m. and you know where people live. What's the big deal? I am shocked myself.
It's got silencers and everything, no big thing.
Right. Like, I mean, freshly dug graves, I mean.
this is what everybody do, right?
Lehi without the first freshly dug grave cast first stone, you know what I'm saying? That's what I say. So but yes, yeah, that's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what other news we got? Oh wait, how about this? Let me get back to my, oh wait, what's Spotify doing? Acting stupid. Okay, Spotify, I see you, dog. Guess I can't play my sound effect, so we will go to a different thing that we will talk about. How about oh wait, did we already talk about the woman that said she like breastfeeding because you don't gotta do dishes and shit?
Mm-mm.
All right, this woman says, I be breastfeeding my kids because it's lazy, I'm lazy, it's cheap, and there are no dirty dishes.
And it's natural.
She opened up about the real reason she chose to breastfeed her kids.
I ain't mad at her.
She said, fuck that natural shit. I'm lazy, it's cheap, and I ain't got to do dishes. Put them titties out and let them go to town. And you know what? I hear you, ma'am. Yeah. Oh, Spotify just does not want to work. Okay. So I don't know what's going on with Spotify. We're never going to get those sound effects back.
You shut down and bring it back.
I'm trying to.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny though, because, you know, a lot of people do try to make women feel bad for breastfeeding in public and shit. But I mean, there's so many advantages to it, you know? And yeah, that's one I hadn't even really thought about, to be honest, that you can absolutely be like, you know, pull my titties out for my turn, you know? And I ain't got to worry about a bottle. I ain't got to worry about warming up no milk. I ain't got to worry about doing no dishes. Just here's some titty juice. Enjoy yourself.
It's exhausting giving birth to a child, regardless if you give it naturally or you get a C-section. This shit is fucking exhausting, and people underestimate how much women have to go through to birth a child into this world.
Yeah. So, interesting. Let's see. Oh, I should put this in fucking with black people. All right, and oh, Spotify's back up. All right, cool. And now let me go to my special sound effect list and just wait 20 minutes for that to come up.
Not 20 minutes.
No, it takes its time. It may not come when you're ready, but it's always on time. That's right, Karen. Had to wait all that time just to tell you that clowns are still in the motherfucking news.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I know. Clown porn is surging in popularity.
Ha, 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 ha!
Mm-hmm. And it's mainly thanks to women. So, the same people that betrayed Hillary Clinton out here watching these clowns. As clown surge,
same group.
Mm-hmm. As clown surge in notoriety in a country riveted by a scary clown epidemic, people are turning to porn to better understand their fears or something. What we mean is clown search on Pornhub went up 213% in October. Wow. The most searched terms are in order: clown porn, clown girl, and clown gangbang.
What is that like? Is it handkerchiefs everywhere? Do we have bowling ball pins that turn into flowers? What is happening here? What is this gangbang like?
The money shot is probably just confetti all over your face.
Red noses everywhere, big floppy shoes for days. What the fuck is happening?
Finger you with them huge gloves. As if you didn't already know that, for unknown reasons, women flock to the freaky fruit 33% more than men. Pornhub statisticians, say the dream job for any man. Okay. We're also sure to research the preceding searches for what people were watching before they decided, you know what? I'm going to look for clown porn. So it started with clown porn, clown girl, clown gangbang, clowns, clown sex, crazy clown, sexy clown, scary clown, killer clown, clown orgy, midget clown, clown circus, lesbian clown, birthday clown, clown fart, clown feet.
Wow, that's then, I don't even know nothing about that. That's a deep dark hole.
You know, I gotta say though, porn in some ways is the real America too. Like,
yes, it is.
I'm kind of thankful for porn because it really lets you know where you stand. You know,
yes, it is.
Well, it's really like they don't hold any bars with them titles and shit. They just, you know, ghetto bitch sucks cock for 10 minutes. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, I guess that's just how people feel about it. I mean, it's offensive, but I gotta click on it and see. I mean, I am into ghetto bitches sucking cock. It's sad, but that's, you know, I feel like that's what the great equalizer is porn in a lot of cases.
Yeah, porn is reality because most of the major porn sites, particularly where you can watch porn for free, mm-hmm. most of them start out with cuckolds, so they don't mind fucking us. They just don't care about our bodies. That's what the American porn diaspora has.
Yeah, but me. I'm talking about just I'm just saying like just some of the titles. It's just like, you know, Asian woman got to make the rent or something. It's just it's like, you know, my baby mama fine as fuck. You're like, damn, they just.
Oh yeah, the title.
That's the real America, yeah, right there.
Yeah, thought. Yeah, the thoughts. See a lot of thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of ghettos, ghetto girl.
No, it's like they go out of their way to be offensive.
And the more offensive, you'll be surprised. Even a lot of slang. You know, because I started digging down, which I didn't know this hole existed. People's Snapchats are on porn sites. Which I did not know existed. So, and they'd be like, follow me. I was like, what the fuck? How did you end up over here?
I mean, it's good advertising.
Great advertisement, actually.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, it's just interesting.
Actually smart.
But, yeah, it's the descriptions that I'm talking about. Once people describe them, it's just, you know, fat baby mama cheating or something. You're just like, damn. That's what you can't. That's like that's very mean to say to that person.
Yes, dick down hole while man at work.
Yeah,
sometimes like that.
Yeah, it's just very very mean things to say about people. But it's, you go on any porn site, and that's the first thing you get confronted with is just, you know, how people really feel about America and shit.
Smack dick in face with Mandingo dick.
I don't know which ones you watch, but that's not. The ones I see is more like, you know,
I guess I'm going down another rabbit hole, my bad.
Just, you know, more the ones I see is mostly like racist angry shit. Just, you know, it's just like, why are y'all so mad? Like, yeah, you got your dick in your hand, you supposed to be about to come, you should be happy, but instead it's just like they have to throw in that like shot to just at whatever, you know, like whether it's you know, like it'll be like stupid African bitch sucks dick, and you're like, why did you take it there? What,
yeah, gang bang black cunt, and you be like, okay,
yeah,
okay,
it you just say so, okay. You know, it just, why'd you take it there? You just didn't have to, you know,
we could have kept it cute and sweet. They was like, no, we're gonna be all dirty with it.
She gonna cry. Like, I'm not clicking this might be a crime. I'm no thanks.
Come on now. Yeah, it's some shit. I look at the title of some of them, I'm
but
like, nah,
but here's dude. The thing though, I'm saying that we're all kind of together, because if it would have said couple make sweet beautiful love, I'll be like, I'm not clicking that.
That shit sound boring.
All right, I'm like, what are they gonna play, fucking classical music in the background? That's why I say it's the great equalizer, and it's bringing us all together. It's because, you know, we do sit around and like
and read the description. Don't act like we the only.
Well, not one. No. I know what I want to say. Okay. I'm trying to finish my sentence. I'm saying, we it's not about reading the descriptions. You don't click on you wouldn't click on a PC title for porn anyway.
True.
So it is like the great equalizer, because that's the real America. That's how people really feel. That's when people are like,
people like, we know why you came.
Yeah, that would be hot. Like, cause you know what I mean? Cause you don't really have whatever it is. Like, you a savage inside that makes you fucking click on that shit. Like a good person would be like, this is racist, sexist, misogynistic. But then you look at it's like over 17 million plays, 40,000 right? comments. Like people fucking love this
50,000 thumbs up.
You know, it's like I love Legends of Chamberlain Heights because the show ain't shit and it doesn't try to be. It's like, yes, offensive comedy. Some people aren't going to like it, but it doesn't run from that. And I like it because of that. And I think that's how America is with porn. Everybody's like, we should make them use condoms. No, you don't want to make them use no condoms.
You know you don't on your normal sex life. You use it because you don't want to catch diseases.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. All right. Let's get into some fucking with black people. Okay, guys? Feel like it's time to get back to usual in Trump's America. Just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we find different articles that make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores and it's from 0 to 100 and intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. That's right. Here's one. You know, young people, millennials, if they had voted, we would have won because millennials are so super not racist. Oops. University of Oklahoma student. Oops. Has been suspended for sending racist messages.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Trump's America.
Mm-hmm. The messages included threats of lynchings to black freshmen at the University of Pennsylvania. Two universities said on Saturday the messages were sent to more than 150 students at the University of Pennsylvania.
150, okay.
President-elect Donald Trump's alma mater. And included racial slurs and pictures of African Americans being hanged, students told local media. This is absolutely vile material and completely offensive to everyone in our campus, the University of Pennsylvania president Amy Gutman said in a statement. This is simply deplorable.
But we're not going to say it's racist.
Right. I mean, don't say deplorable. I mean, that's offensive to people that voted for Trump. That's the new slur. University of Oklahoma President David Boren notified Gutman that his school had identified a suspect who has not been named, because we definitely don't want them to feel any shame. Don't want any crimes or anything. The university has already determined from its preliminary inquiry that there's a basis for a temporary suspension of the student under our student code while we continue to gather all the facts.
Temporary suspension, kicking the fuck out of your university.
Listen, what about his First Amendment rights, Karen? Okay? And he has the right to say those things. The university has already determined, okay. The messages, including some sent from a source called Trump's disciples, same as civil rights groups, said racial and religious minorities have been targeted nationwide after the election of Trump as president. They have said his divisive campaign rhetoric emboldened a few supporters to spread racist messages, although Trump has called for unity since his election and denounced white supremacist groups that have backed him. Yeah, okay. Y'all believe that shit if y'all want. This is the Brexit, dog. Over here, I said it before the shit popped off. Like,
America,
we could definitely have a Brexit over here, and this is it.
Exactly. When I seen that shit over there, I was like, oh yeah, I can see U.S. falling right behind. Oh, y'all think y'all gonna outdo us in racism? Never.
The Council of American Islamic Relations, a civil rights group, said there have been a string of threats and attacks on American Muslims after the election and have called on Trump to speak out on the incidents. The Trump campaign has not responded to requests for comment. During the campaign, Trump called for banning Muslims from entering the country for security reasons. So, there you go. 0 to 100, Karen.
100.
Okay. 100 for me as well. Kimberly Roofs for TVLine.com wrote, if Jon Stewart hadn't stepped down from the Daily Show, Hillary Clinton would most likely be president. That's right, guys. Jon Stewart, who should, I'm assuming, now get credit for both of Obama's elections since he was at the Daily Show and he was the real MVP. She said, Jon Stewart stepped down from the Daily Show in August 2015 and Donald Trump was elected president of the United States in November 2016. Why can't I stop feeling like the two are related? Probably because you're a white woman. Allow me to preface this argument with some transparency. I'm a registered Democrat. I voted for Hillary Clinton. And if those two attributes incense you before even I even get going, just skip directly to the comments and have at it. If you're still here, you might be marveling at the insane idea that a comedy series could muster the kind of groundswell that could change a national elections outcome. Screw it, these are crazy times. Had Stewart still been host of the Daily Show, Clinton would have had a much better shot at grabbing the requisite 270 electoral college votes to become commander in chief. Trump won Wisconsin by fewer than 28,000 votes. Is it that far afield to think that Daily Show viewers there, along with their friends there, might have shared Daily Show videos with, could have turned the state of, for Democratic candidate? See, this is the shit I'm talking about.
This is why niggas.
White people voted for racism, and you got white people writing about them thinking that these white people were just confused or misled, or if John Stewart would have showed up, they would have voted differently, or if we would have talked about them differently, they would have voted different. No, they voted for what they wanted. It's not even, when people keep blaming the media, they sound stupid to me. It's not the media's fault either. Everyone pointed out how fucked up this dude was, and that's what certain people in America want. They want that. You have to accept it because it's the fucking reality we're in. If you don't, then how do you combat it? If you keep thinking these poor, deluded white people got tricked into voting for this dude, you're a fucking fool too. And you're not ready to confront the actual truth, which is that motherfuckers saw white supremacists running and was like, cool, sign me up. I voted for that nigger and then he fucking started supporting Trayvon Martin and talking about Black Lives Matter. Fuck him and fuck this. That's what it was. It's not, you know, I saw people, someone asked me that, how you explain someone voting for Obama and then voting for Trump? I know people that are racist that did that. I know people. One, people voted for Obama thinking, cool, I can finally assuage my guilt and say racism is over. Then when racism wasn't over, they started calling him the most divisive president of all time. Divider in chief. And they started saying stuff like, I can't trust him. He putting black people issues over my issues and shit like that. And everybody ignored it because they're too busy with the infighting on the left, trying to make him perfect. And they're too busy ignoring the people on the right. And it just builds up, you know, and Republicans and Fox News are all stoking those flames. And finally, one dude came through to say, I ain't code switching. So fuck these black people. And they was like, yep, that's what we've been saying. So I can vote for Obama and turn around and vote for Trump because it wasn't about any other policy but racism, you know, like it was always about racism. And the other thing is people aren't stagnant. They're not, it's a snapshot. A vote is a snapshot of a person. You could be theoretically not racist in 2008 and racist in 2016. I know it's crazy to me too. It happens, you know. Not everybody's just a static, like people grow into things. You're not born racist, so we know for a fact that racism is a process, whether it's a learned behavior, a taught behavior, a societal influence, whatever. We know it's a process. So you telling me in the 8 years between Obama and now, people can make that process over to, I don't like this nigga, I don't like this nigga, they telling me he divisive, they telling me he's terrible and the worst president ever, and they telling me Obamacare going to all the black people, I thought I was supposed to get me some money and all this shit, and then it's boom, oh yep, I want to support those white racist dudes. So anyway, back to this thing. Shut the fuck up. It's not John Stewart, because I think the reason it bothers me is because essentially you want to blame Trevor Noah. White people do not like black people telling them the same shit white people is telling them.
Come on.
Larry Wilmore show failed because of this. Right. This show has failed. Daily Show is struggling because of this. And I watched the Daily Show. I love Roy Wood Jr. on there. Trevor Noah is getting better and better, and so is the show. But I don't know that it's going to get that chance to really grow like Jon Stewart's show. We've talked about it on here. But what I do know is that white people don't want to see the same thing from a black face, because if we're being honest, by the time John Stewart left, shit was dying on the Vine. It wasn't like the only time you were seeing John Stewart shit was if it was shared on the internet, which also meant that it was because somebody at Raw Story watched it and put it on the front page of their shit.
Right.
It wasn't about people watching live. It was just about having a liberal person deliver a monologue that you could share. Shit, half the time it wasn't even funny. If we're being real, half the time people were sharing Jon Stewart shit because it was sincere. It's like, Jon Stewart really takes down Fox News. And you see, and it's like, well, it's not really a lot of jokes. It's a lot of frustration. It's a lot of, like, you know, pulling my hair out because y'all are going fucking insane in this country. That's not the same as, look at this funny monologue he did, you know? So, yeah, I find it very telling that indirectly this blames black people, because it also, this goes to the Nightly Show too. Indirectly, it's these black people didn't come through for us, guys. They're just not as good at this as the white guy was, and that's really why the president is Donald Trump instead of whatever, right? Meanwhile, Stephen Colbert, that's fine, you know, he can go not be political in another avenue, and you know, that's not the reason. So man, so yeah, I just thought that was ridiculous. 100 for me. Mm-hmm. Okay, 100 for Karen as well. All right. Grubhub CEO says, not up in here, boo-boo.
No, what happened?
Following Donald Trump's election win, Grubhub co-founder Matt Maloney, white dude, sent a stern message to his employees. The subject line for the company-wide email sent Wednesday read, "So, that happened. What's next?" In the email, Maloney, a Clinton supporter, writes, "While demeaning, insulting, and ridiculing minorities and the immigrants and the physically mentally disabled work for Mr. Trump, I want to be clear that this behavior and these views have no place at Grubhub.
Go ahead.
I want to reaffirm to anyone on our team that is scared or feels personally exposed that I and everyone else here at Grubhub will fight for your dignity and your right to make a better life for yourself and your family here in the United States." The best part of the email is when Maloney told employees that if they have a problem with being decent human beings in the workplace, they're welcome to quit.
Come on.
"If you do not agree with this statement, then please reply to this email with your resignation because you have no place here. We do not tolerate hateful attitudes on our team." Fox News took this letter to as Maloney telling employees to resign if they voted for Trump, which it isn't. Of course, Fox News. According to Maloney, this is a reminder that there is no tolerance for hate and discrimination at Grubhub. "I did not ask anyone to resign if they voted for Trump," he said in a blog post late Thursday. "To the contrary, the message of the email is that we do not tolerate discriminatory activity or hateful commentary in the workplace and that we will stand up for our employees. Grubhub deserves a seat at the tables right next to Ben and Jerry's."
So, do you think that people that voted for Hillary Clinton are not racist?
Listen.
They're Fox racist News, across the board, baby.
First of all, Fox News said that shit. Come on, Karen. Fox News said that shit. Oh, my bad. Yeah, just, no, we're not doing that. Here's what I will say, though.
Sorry, I apologize.
Here's what I will say. He's clearly applying for a seat at the cookout. I can tell. And I see people all the time now doing the, I hate when people say they gonna invite a white person to the cookout for saying something about racism. I hate when people say they hate when people say that shit, because it's a joke. There's no actual cookout. It's just a fucking, like, people act like we really gonna show up at a cookout and it's gonna be a bunch of white people there. What the fuck are y'all talking about? Get some problems. That's not a real thing to complain about. Anyway, I hate when people say this white person is saying something against racism and they gonna give them a cookout. There's no plate. No one's making them a plate. There's no place to actual go. You won't be forced to work for them. You won't be seeing them. You won't be playing fucking hacky sack or some shit. And then they white people just show up out of nowhere like, "Is this the cookout? I brought my plate." Fuck out of here, man. People so mad. It's a funny joke. Y'all ruin everything. Can't even make a little harmless ass, "Oh, he can come to the cookout" joke where we all go, "Oh, he gonna bring the white potato salad." You know, it's all jokes. Man.
I come to the conclusion that some parts of the internet have no sense of humor and expect you not to have any either. Fuck
for real. The internet will kill everything, man.
Everything.
Azealia Banks, speaking of killing everything, has congratulated President Trump. "I'm truly inspired by this and feel deep amounts of vindication." Apparently, not all rich, abusive white men are her enemy.
Apparently so.
Just the ones that kick her out of their house.
Mm-hmm. But like, I'm not here for your shit.
She all the way back, man. All the way back in January this year, Azalea Banks said she was going to be voting for Donald Trump, praising the Republican presidential nominee. With the announcement that Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States, Banks is taking to social media to congratulate Trump on his win. First off, I'd like to apologize to Donald Trump for all the stupid jokes I made. She opened one of her Instagrams on the matter. She continues, secondly, I would like to apologize for all the times I was dumb enough to let the liberal media sway my opinion of you. Thirdly, I'm fucking proud as fuck of you. She added that she was truly inspired by his win and she feels deep amounts of vindication. She also posted a couple of updates on Facebook, bringing Jay-Z, Beyonce, and her former collaborator Pharrell into the conversation. But I'm really laughing because Jay-Z and Beyonce really were up there shucking and bucking for Hillary and she still lost, she wrote. She had Pharrell, old Jiminy Cricket looking ass up there with his Sambo hat on, going hard in the paint. Bitches was not in formation. Hillary even tried to say she had hot sauce in her bag. She even pulled out all the most typical shit and still lost. The next Facebook post took on Hillary with her writing, America deserves a way better first female president than trash ass Hillary. Now that cow has lost for the second time. Let's set her back out the pasture. Y'all never listen to me, LOL. She said that Katie and Gaga was backstage crying. I would have laughed real hard and loud right in their faces. And then got kicked out and then accused them of beating you up. The post concluded with her writing, Trump beat the media. This is deeper than politics. He beat the fucking media. He is my fucking hero right now. I'm elated. So there you go. Shout out to Azalea Banks, Karen, 0 to 100.
100.
All right. I feel like Azalea is approaching that territory where she gets an immediate 100 now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's just like, oh yeah, you'll say anything for attention. It just doesn't, anything. Like, you have no backbone, you have no moral fiber, you're just saying anything to troll. Speaking of saying anything to troll and permanent 100s, George Zimmerman was kicked out of a bar after using racial slurs. Mm-hmm. What? I can't believe this. I am shocked. George Zimmerman,
this news to me too.
Yeah, it's funny to me, it's crazy to me too. George Zimmerman out here shaking the table. He got kicked out of a Florida cigar bar after using racial slurs and yelling at a waitress. The former neighborhood watchman became belligerent at the Corona Cigar Co. outside of Orlando, according to a Seminole County Sheriff's Office report. Manager Angel Benitez told the Daily News that staff asked an officer who arrived for an incident with someone else in the 33-year-old's party to remove him after disturbances, including yelling at a waitress. We don't tolerate any racial or bad behavior, so that's why we trespassed him, he said, using a term for asking the police to take someone away. An employee told Deputy Zimmerman ripped a credit card out of her hand when she was trying to collect a bill. I didn't know you were a nigger lover, he said, when he left out. Trump's America, y'all. Didn't know you were a nigger lover. Zimmerman came to national attention when he shot Trayvon. We know this. After his taken out of the bar, he said that he had been assaulted by a black man inside. Oh god damn it, this motherfucker. So that's just his go-to excuse for everything. And now white people, like, people were literally at the cigar bar seeing him lying. Video of the incident showed the man saying hello and trying to shake the fellow bargoer's hand before tapping Zimmerman on the shoulder twice. When he refused, Zimmerman had previously claimed he was assaulted at Florida dining establishments, calling police in August and saying he had been punched in the face. However, the owner of Gators Riverside Grill, by the way, what a fucking coward. Dude come over to shake your hand, and it's like, oh god, a black person's here cracking. I'm just gonna pretend he's not there. He's tapping on my shoulder. What is happening? He's assaulting me. This is an assault. However, the owner of Gators Riverside Grill said that the confrontation was only a shoving match that started after Zimmerman bragged about killing Trayvon Martin. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, Karen, 0 to 100.
The 100 was spoken. His name pops up. He automatically get 100 to me.
Mm, okay. So Karen is going with 100.
Yeah, he got 100 and a middle finger.
100 and a middle finger for that motherfucker. I don't blame you, Karen. Okay. All right, let's get into our next section. Right, guys, it's white people news time. Billy Bush is being courted by Breitbart to run their Hollywood coverage following Trump's victory. Hey man,
he stay winning.
What is white may never die. Billy Bush, he already making a comeback. Mm-hmm. That's a step down because it's from the Today Show to Breitbart, but I'm sure he'll be able to go there and objectify every single woman on the set and be fine.
And be fine, dog.
Yeah, anybody is gonna be over there like, look at that, those legs. They go all the way to the top floor. Am I right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that will be happening. Good for him, buddy. Maybe now his wife will stay with him. When he lost that job, it sounded like they was headed for divorce, but if he gets to working again, you know, can you leave a man like that? A Billy Bush once in a lifetime catch? I don't think so. Let's see what else is happening in white people news. Pixie Lott channels glamour in pink floral mini dress and voluminous updo as she steps out in LA.
Yeah, voluminous updo.
Mm-hmm. You know how Pixie do. She traded in her hometown of Essex for a crack at the American dream, and Pixie Lott looked every inch the glamorous California girl as she left the Disney headquarters in Los Angeles on Thursday. The 25-year-old singer looked pretty in pink as she flashed her enviable long lean legs in a summery retro inspired mini dress. Let me see if I can get this on screen for you guys.
I'm dying to see this mini dress.
Yeah, you know, you don't get to see Pixie Lott in a mini dress too often, so it's like when you get the chance, you gotta spread the word and let the people know in the chat room.
Yeah, I'm just going over the fly. I have no idea who this one.
Yeah, can you see it? Let me know when y'all can see it. I can't be in there at the same time. The pretty pink and white dress featured a plunging neck, scoop neckline before going on to skim her sensational figure. Falling at a thigh skimming finish, the Mama Do songstress, she sings, okay, flaunted her pins as she strolled forth in a unique pair of block heels.
What she sang?
Mama Do.
That's the name of the song, not the hairdo?
Mama Do songstress, yeah. Her blonde locks were piled high on her head in the voluminous updo with a few strands framing her pretty features. She looked at ease as she, this could not be whiter. She is holding Starbucks. She looked at ease as she draped her black handbag over one shoulder while she held on the coffee and her shades in the other hand.
Can you cue one of her songs up?
Candy, sure. Okay. Yeah, this is a, this happened because of you. That's all. I'm perfectly fine with just publishing the damn, telling y'all the white people news. And then you pull us into this. What was her name again? Something Locks. Pixie Locks.
Pixie Locks.
God, what is this? Pixie Lot. There you go. Sound like a fucking Rainbow Bright character.
It does. We believe in you, Pixie Lot.
She got Cry Me Out, Mama Do, uh-oh. All About Tonight, Best Day of My Life, Use Somebody. What do you want?
Mama Do, since that's the one you said.
Okay, that's got the most hits. Okay. The West End star stepped out previously the previous day in a flirty white and green mini dress as she enjoyed some time with her pal. She also been spotted in form fitting gray one piece with skin tight charcoal mother skinny jeans to ensure her toned figure was on full display. So there you guys go. Pixie Lott, fashion diva and pop star. Let's see what else we got here. Saturday Coffee Shuffle. Oh shit. Kate Hudson was out here dancing around on Snapchat in her pajamas, y'all.
Oh shit, not her pajama jammy jam.
And she was drinking on some coffee.
Starbucks.
In Trump's America, y'all. This is news right here. Y'all welcome.
To the people that were worried.
Yeah, you worry about people ripping off your hijab, so people got to put on safety pins, which is ridiculous. White people don't do that. Don't do that, guys. Hey, if you're listening, do not put on a fucking safety pin. All right, guys? That's fucking ridiculous. Just help people when you see them. If anything, maybe I can get JL cover in. Someone needs to do a skit about people trying to wear safety pins and then they see some actual shit happen around them and then they cover their safety pin up in very discreet ways, like, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna just put this cup of coffee in front of my safety pin so the person that's being harassed can't see that I'm okay with this. Anyway, Saturday Coffee Shuffle, Kate Hudson kicks off a weekend by dancing in her underwear to new Alicia Keys album. Yes, peak whiteness, girl. Yes, queen. She has her own collection of athletic wear, Fabletics, and the book about loving your body. So it's no surprise that Kate Hudson feels comfortable dancing in her underwear while the star showed a video shared to Instagram on Saturday. 37-year-old could be seen dancing around in a teal camisole and matching underwear in the clip caption Saturday Coffee Shuffle. Like, she ain't got no bra on either. Go ahead, Kate. Kate went braless in the tiny low-cut teal top and sported no accessories during the morning dance video. Her shoulder-length blonde tresses were styled in the center part, and she showed off her natural beauty going makeup-free. The mother of two did flaunt the bright purple manicure along with her enviable trim figure as she danced in the tiny get-up. Loving my dance partner, which was a cup of coffee. She danced in the video while holding on to a ceramic pale blue coffee mug at one point, commenting, "Loving my dance partner." She danced while enjoying her coffee, more than we know from the Alicia Keys new album, here played in the background. The almost famous actress looked to be having a blast as she posed for the camera, playing the moving the coffee mug around the screen and in front and out of her face. There you go, Kate Hudson.
That actress, right?
Yep, that same day she took to, I don't know what she is, she took to Instagram to gush about Alicia Keys' new album and shared a picture of the artwork. I literally don't know. Kate Hudson could be married to the king. She could be a singer or an actress. You would get me okay, on all of them.
I thought she was.
She could be all three of those.
That's true. You never know.
I feel like actress is what I'm leaning toward. Like if I had,
yeah, because I've heard if I was on before.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I would guess Kate Hudson. Kate, she's an actress.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "My beautiful friend at Alicia Keys brought me to hopeful tears as I sat and listened to the album in its entirety." She continues, she hands us her heart and uses her art to share a bigger message about courage, freedom, strength, and love. "Here is worth taking the time to listen to from start to finish. Heart emojis, hashtag Saturday Sounds." Well, good for you, man, because that is not the review I got from Nick Jew over at What's the Tea. I'm just saying. I did not.
That review was a little bit different.
I feel like there might not be any shade on Alicia Keys' face, but there was a lot of shade taking place on What's the Tea about her by her octaves. A Texas man accused of stalking Taylor Swift at a Texas airport is charged with violating a lifetime restraining order.
Oh, goddamn, lifetime.
Hey, if you go
at the, like forever
come at the queen, you best not miss. Texas man accused of stalking singer Taylor Swift in Austin, Texas has been charged with violating a lifetime restraining order. I didn't know Drake was from Texas. That's what's amazing to me.
I didn't know you could get a lifetime restraining order.
Travis County records show Frank Andrew Hoover is being held Friday on charge of violating a protective order issued in Kansas that requires him to stay at least 500 feet away from the multi-Grammy award-winning artist. I wonder if she's gonna write a song about him.
Yep.
An affidavit says Hoover followed Swift's motorcade after her October 22nd concert at Austin Circuit of the Americas to a private area in Austin Bergstrom International Airport. The affidavit says the 39-year-old suspect came within 50 feet of Taylor Swift. Hangar worker said he talked about wanting to accompany Swift onto her plane. Wow. Hoover of Austin was arrested on Thursday. Something's just mentally wrong. How does this happen though? Because there's just certain people that have this. Someone gets famous and it's like, I gotta stalk them. We must be together.
But at least she has the, not trying to find the capability of security and all that shit. What about the normal ass person that's like, got this, same thing, mm-hmm. but they don't got like people watching? What do they do?
I mean, make a song, make a kind of passive aggressive song about the person, I'm assuming that's what
okay.
she would do.
And make your money. Okay.
he was arrested on Thursday. Reports, the New York Daily News reports that court documents reveal Hoover wrote several unsettling and threatening emails to her father after he was, yeah, because if they can't get to you, it's like, I'll just email your father. After he was unable to meet Swift following the October 22nd performance, he penned an email to Scott which read, God is going to kill all the Swifts and then the issue will go away. What issue? My raging erection? What the fuck? According to the Austin Statesman, the affidavit reveals Hoover sent around 30 emails to the pop star's father between August 28th 30. And October 27th. In one of them, he acknowledged that he was aware he was violating the terms of the restraining order. I placed my life in your hands as you could easily file suit for my violation of the lifetime protective order. Despite the lifetime ban, I must continue forward as I have no other path in life. Other emails include one with the image of Swift and the caption, "A whore named Satan dies." Another read, "Without her, I walk the earth forever alone and she'll continue to experience failed relationships that break her heart." Oh, so he just wants to fix her. He sees that she can't be with her, you know, these men keep hurting her and he wants to be the one to really just treat her the right way by, you know, a whore named Satan dying. Bond is set at $100,000. No attorney is listed to speak on his behalf. So there you guys go. Dude is stalking Taylor Swift. That
oh, his is under the jail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Yeah, there's a rumor that Drake is dating Taylor Swift and bought her some stuff for her cat. So yeah, I had a story on that one. Just did not have the heart for that one. All right, let's get into some guess the race, and then we'll get out of here, guys. Okay, everybody can go watch football. Let's see. Boom. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land, where we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room and Karen, to guess the race. And of course, they're all racist as hell. All right, of course, Guess the Race is brought to you by Loot Crate. That's right, Guess the Race is brought to you by November's Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter offer code TBGWT, and you can get $3 off of any new subscription. This month, the theme is magical. That's right. You need to sign up by the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time in order to get your 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items and more for less than $20 a month. And Loot Crate DX has all kinds of stuff, like you get collectibles. This month it'll be Doctor Strange, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and Big Trouble in Little China.
That's gonna be a good box,
right? And last month it was horror, and mm-hmm. You could also go with the loot wear, where you can get clothes and stuff, and we got a package. See what's in our loot wear, guys. We haven't even opened this yet. Mm-hmm. Let me just open this bad bitch. All right, we got we get some. Oh, cool. All right, close that. That's just a listing of what's in here. This one is Edward Scissorhands. Edward Scissorhands shirt. It's, what does it say? Hold me, I can't, because he got scissor hands.
He can't hold himself.
He can't. He can't hold himself. The Walking Dead boxers, I'm keeping these. The Walking Dead boxers, and they have all the weapons from the boxers, Walking Dead. Daryl's crossbow. Oh. They have a shotgun. They have Rick's gun. They have sword. Michonne's sword. They have Negan's bat, of course.
Brass knuckles.
Yeah, definitely. These are mine. None of you are getting
this. I'm about to say, what am I? I hope I got a skirt in you.
Yours in there.
Okay.
They probably got women can wear boxers.
Yes, they. Oh, they can.
Yeah. Well, the hell is Karen talking about?
Oh, because I got a skirt one time. That's why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shaun of the Dead. Which is, if you haven't seen Shaun of the Dead,
that's great.
One of the best movies ever.
Mm-hmm. It is hilarious.
But yeah, there's a Shaun of the Dead shirt. Oh man, this is so dope. And what is this? Waylon? Alien. Okay. Oh, it's the corporation from Alien that wanted to get the alien.
Oh.
That's trying to get the egg and shit.
Yes.
So is that everything? There's more shit in here. My God. Mm-hmm. Horror Collection, Geeks Meet. Okay. Oh, there's also, in addition to the Walking Dead boxers, matching Walking Dead socks, nigga. Same design.
Woohoo!
And the last socks are Nightmare Before Christmas socks.
That's neat.
I'm telling you, man. Seriously, you guys can't believe everyone hasn't signed up for this already. This is fucking ridiculous. And you get this every month.
It's worth
it. And the loot wear is always some I always get compliments on my loot wear. Like, I wear my socks when I play ball and shit. People be like, where you get those socks from? I'm like, they're Loot Crate, dog. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into the guest of race, guys. Okay. A missing grammar school boy, 15 years old, who ran away because he was bored. Maybe using survival tips that he learned from Bear Grylls and staying off the radar by copying Jason Bourne, says his parents.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Didn't Bear Grylls have a TV show? Ain't, was he Canadian or some shit like that?
Bear Grylls is that dude that does the survival shows and has celebrities with him. Barack Obama's been on there. Marshawn Lynch. Missing grammar school boy Arthur Hiller Froude has could be using survival tips from the TV adventurer Bear Grylls to live in the wild and may have picked up methods to avoid detection from Jason Bourne, said his father.
Smart child.
The 15-year-old A-level student disappeared without a trace September 6th, the second day of his new school term, leaving a letter telling his parents, "I've run away because I'm bored of my life." Arthur's parents, yes, right. Arthur's parents, Jeremy, 54, Caroline, 53, told the Mail on Sunday yesterday that nobody knows anything and that Devon and Cornwall police have never experienced anything like this. They are appealing to, for readers to study the Colton Grammar School pupils' photo and believe recognition by a passerby is the best chance of finding him. Apart from possibly cutting his hair, they feel his appearance might will largely be unchanged. Speaking from the family's secluded college near Membury, in the Blackdown Hills, East Devon, Mr. Hiller Froude said, like any teenager, he read books and watched a lot of films. He was into Bear Grylls and all that adventure stuff, Jason Bourne, you know, the whole kind of spy things. In terms of keeping himself off the radar, he might have picked things up, I guess. It's fairly normal stuff for a teenage boy to be interested in, but to actually put it into practice, that's a completely different thing. Arthur left his mobile phone behind, which could have been used to build up a picture of his whereabouts. Surprisingly, there's not been a single confirmed sighting of him, nor any CCTV footage. His parents and police are angry that Facebook has refused their request to allow access to Arthur's account, which could lead to a vital clue. They believe he was in contact with an unknown person on social networking site the day before he vanished, but without the permission of the U.S.-based tech giant, they cannot investigate this line of inquiry. Well, just tell them that, you know, he's part of ISIS or some shit. They'll probably let you do it. Just tell them you're from the U.S. government. A Devon and Cornwall police spokeswoman said yesterday the officers have requested Facebook for access, but so far we've been refused. Mrs. Hiller Froude added, "This Facebook link is so crucial. We just need them to release the information to the police so that we can see, they can see that he's been in contact with someone." So yeah, guess the race, Karen. All right, Karen's going white. Let's see what the chat room believes. Born identity white. Feels right at home kissing wolves and bears in the mouth. Aww. Bored enough to drink his own pee. Definitely a melanin-free lad. White because black kids learn survival tips from living life, not TV shows and movies. Leonardo DiCaprio will be playing this little cracker in a movie in 2018. Aww. You can't have my password, Mom. White. Correct answer is white. That is, everyone got it right. That is an awfully grown looking 15-year-old too. Like when I seen his picture, I was like, that's a man. You don't like no 15-year-old. Like, this is like a fucking headshot from somebody's job. Like, like, oh, that's so-and-so from marketing.
Yeah, very smart and intelligent. So obviously he was like, oh, y'all think y'all gonna find me? I'll come back when I feel like it.
Yeah, I guess so, man.
He gonna be like that boy from that comic book. He gonna come back, aged up. Remember you said you read
that? Oh, yeah, I'm reading a comic book. It's called Birthright. And yeah, it's about a kid that goes missing in the woods and comes back like fucking 30 years old. Yeah, that's how he looked.
He'll come back. He'll be like, Mom, Dad, I got married and had kids. What the fuck have you been?
Like, you 15? You like, you voted for Trump. Anyway, that's him. So let's see. Let's do another one, okay? How about a Virginia grandmother got 12 years in prison for putting a hit on her relatives after losing custody of her grandson.
Okay, say that again.
A Virginia grandmother got 12 years in prison for putting a hit on her relatives after losing custody of her grandson.
Grandma was like, not today, no you won't.
A Virginia grandmother has been sentenced to 12 years in prison for a failed murder for hire plot targeting her relatives after she lost custody of her grandson. A county judge on Monday handed down the sentence to 45-year-old Tammy Smith Kelly of Stevensburg. She pleaded guilty in August to four counts of solicitation to commit murder. Authorities said Kelly lost custody of her 5-year-old grandson last fall and attempted to arrange the killing of his maternal grandparents and their two adult children, all of Louisa County. Kelly was arrested on November 19, 2015 as a result of a sting operation carried out by Culpeper County Sheriff's Office and Virginia State Police. Just days before the Thanksgiving last year, an undercover officer met with Kelly and was able to obtain from her detailed information of the plot, including when, where, and how the hits would be carried out, the intended targets, and the payment method. She was thorough. So you can't even say, like, I didn't know, they tricked me. Like, no, you showed up, was like, PayPal, this account. The conversation between Kelly and the undercover officer was recorded on tape, in which the grandmother had heard, was heard saying that the other grandparents would be leaving their home around 5:30 p.m., leaving a narrow window for the hit. So she wanted to kill the kid's other grandparents. That wouldn't have no effect on the kid. In the recording, Kelly also referred to her grandson's aunt and uncle as collateral damage. So, hey, if they get killed, whatever. A search of Kelly Culpepper's county home yielded computers, printers, and tablets that produced about $2,500 in counterfeit bills. So she was going to pay the motherfucker with fake money. As well as a Sig Sauer P225 9mm handgun. Dorothea Johnson, the boy's maternal grandmother, told Culpepper star exponent the murder for a hire plot was an unbelievable and horrible nightmare for the family. We were in total shock, and she had plotted for a hitman to kill them. This can't be real. Johnson said the revelation of the assassination plan was has left her fearful for her life after looking outside her window to see who's driving by or hiding in the bushes. The woman, however, said her family was learning to forgive Kelly. Prosecutor Paul Walther called Kelly's plot hateful and shockingly evil. Defense attorney David Randall attempted to use an insanity defense in their case, but Kelly was deemed competent to stand trial. In court Monday, a tearful Kelly apologized to her relatives sitting in the audience for her actions, saying she was a good person who made a very bad choice and deeply regretted what she had done. Nigga, I was gonna be dead. What the fuck are you talking about? As part of the punishment phase, the 45-year-old woman will spend 25 years on probation following her release from prison. She also will be subjected to random drug tests and will be barred from having any contact with the family. Yeah, now your grandkid lost a, lost a grandparent forever because of your decisions. All right, Karen, guess the race of Miss what's her first name? Tammy Smith Kelly.
White.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys are going with. Casper Eaton, unsalted cracker white. 45-year-old grandmother lives in Virginia and her name is Tammy White. That's a young grandma. She still goes to the club with her daughter, black. 45-year-old grandma, black. Tyler Perry presents Madea's custody battle. Hallelujah. Paid the assassin with money out of her bra, black. Say hello to my little friend, Monster Granny White, and white. The correct answer, and everybody split on this one. And if you guessed white, then you all right. But if you guessed black, you racist son of a bitch. Thought only black people had young grandmamas? In Virginia? Come on now. What's wrong with y'all? I'll be shamed y'all selves. Let's see if I can blow her picture up. Oh, did I screen share yet? Oh. Wait, go to setup page. I didn't click that. Oh God, what is this thing making me do? Close this. I don't want to set up. It appears you already denied camera and mic access. No, I didn't. Can y'all still see me? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't know what Crowdcast is doing right now. Let me just refresh. Maybe that'll fix whatever the problem is. I just randomly was like, you already denied that.
Oh, you know, a black grandma would be like, girl, she can have it. She can have that baby.
I know.
That's why I was like,
I mean, black grandmamas love their baby grandbaby. She would have showed up. They wouldn't have. They wouldn't have put a hit. I mean,
They wouldn't have put a hit.
I mean, honestly, y'all, if I'm being real, if I didn't know the answer, I would have went with black. I mean, her name was Tammy. You know, she just wants to see her grandbaby. Yeah, I mean,
I'm going based off of my stereotypes. I'm not right. Based in facts, okay?
No, none of these are, but I'm just saying, I think I would have went with, plus the other grandma was named like Dolitha or some shit. Like, I would have just been like, oh, that's a black family. She tried to have this nigga killed.
Oh, she real white.
Yeah, super white, right? She like, yeah, like she fuck black people white. Like, she that white.
Yes, another Donald Trump supporter.
All right, let's wrap this up with some sword ratchetness, guys, okay? With my sword sound effect. There we go. Give my grandbaby back.
Shit got real.
A man who killed his dad. I was afraid dad could use a sword on me. He weighed 68 kilograms when he died last year after a scuffle with his sons. Mr. Tan Cock King, 67. You know, that's what they used to call me in porn, the Cock King, but you know, this is, I had to stop, guys. The 38 years older than his son, businessman Mark Tan Ping Liat, who tipped the scales at around 100 kilograms during their alleged scuffle at their West Coast Rise semi-detached house. On the sixth day of Tan's culpable homicide trial yesterday, Deputy Public Prosecutor DPP Kumarisan Ngohulabalan told the court that Tan suffered 7 injuries during the fight. 7? Not severe? Okay. 7 injuries during the fight. He also said Tan's largest injuries were 2 centimeter abrasions on his left foot. In contrast, the court heard on Monday that his father suffered 31 external injuries. Oh, you killed your daddy, man. He said he also had internal injuries to his neck, including a fractured thyroid cartilage near his Adam's apple.
Damn.
Yeah, you were stomping on his neck. In his cross-examination yesterday, Kumarisan highlighted that Mr. Tan's external injuries included a bruise that measured 19 and a half centimeters by 8 centimeters on his right arm. He also had another bruise that measured 4 centimeters by 5 centimeters on his scalp. When he asked if Tan had agreed with his father that his father suffered more serious injuries than he did, he replied yes. He is accused of killing his father after restraining him in a headlock and a chokehold around 5:30 p.m. February 10th last year. Tan, who was represented by lawyer Derek Kang, was originally charged with murder on February 12th last year. The charge was reduced to culpable homicide, not amounting to murder, after 8 months later. He also accused of having 15 airsoft guns without a license. Damn, they can't have guns, so they got airsoft guns, and he had 15 of them. Damn.
Woo.
He probably had some bear traps.
Mm-hmm. Deer cameras.
Yeah. The court heard on Wednesday that the elder Mr. Tan, who had a black belt in Taekwondo, often kept himself fit by performing cardio exercises and engaging in sparring activities with his son. So I guess it was like, yeah, old man strength. Because of these, Tan told District Judge Eddie Tham yesterday that his father had said he was in a better physical condition than most 30-year-old guys. He also testified that his father was a very bad-tempered man. He added, "When my dad got angry, reason would not play a part in his mind." On Wednesday, the court also heard that the two men got into a scuffle and Mr. Tan accused his son of stealing from him. Mm-hmm. You stole from your daddy and killed him. Mm-hmm. After his arrest, Tan told the police and the Institute of Mental Health Psychiatrists that over 5 years, he had been making regular withdrawals of up to $5,000 per transaction from a joint bank account he shared with his father and sister.
Mm-hmm. His daddy realized that.
Yesterday, the court.
Taekwondo ass daddy walk up in there.
Right.
Come on now. You know, he gonna put them hands on you and hurt you, boy.
Right. You dishonored my family. In the Shaolin Temple.
Come on, you gonna have problems.
Yesterday, the court heard that all three of them shared two joint accounts and contained over $100,000 in total. This ain't nothing but rich kid crime. The elder Mr. Tan was the sole contributor to the accounts. So he was basically giving them money and he got greedy.
Mm-hmm.
Tan said that at first he used to ask for his father's permission before making any withdrawals, and Mr. Tan always allowed them. Assuming that his father would always allow such transactions, Tan added that he later stopped telling them about them. On Wednesday, Tan said he restrained Mr. Tan in a headlock and choked him in the master bedroom on February 10th last year, as he did not want his father to get hold of some swords that they kept around the home. That's right, guys, this was always sword ratchetness. We've been talking so long, y'all forgot. So his defense was his father had swords in the house, so he had to kill him. Mr. DPP Karmasan said, asked him if he knew then that manually compressing his father's neck would harm the blood vessels there and constrict his breathing. Tan replied, no.
I don't believe you.
The case has been adjourned and pretrial conference will be held October 24th. If found guilty, he can be jailed for up to 10 years fined or caned.
Your daddy told you about that shit years ago. You remember.
You kill your daddy, you do 10 years, get fined or caned. One of those.
Oh, caned? Caned with what? A cane? What are we talking about?
Bamboo cane.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The same punishment you get for going over there and vandalizing cars, you can get that for murdering your daddy.
Sugar cane to you to death?
Yeah. So, shout out the swords. If his father didn't have swords in the house, his son wouldn't have had an alibi of saying he was gonna get to him. So it all comes back to sword regulations. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.